Listen, you cannot pray while you are smoking that God should cure you of bronchial asthma. You can't. You can't pray while you are a smoker that God should cure you of what we call, there's a big name, doctors call it together. But anyway, one of them, chronic bronchitis. You can't. There's no disease you will have, and you, God will say, oh boy, as I'm healing, you know, you have become a basket of anointing. I can't be pouring anointing to heal you into your life, and you are licking it away with a stick of cigarette. That was what Paul was saying. In the same manner, you know, let me give you an example. It's not a sin to refuse to exercise and eat plenty. You know, it's not a sin, really. But Paul said, the same manner, it is not helpful. You should be disciplined enough to get up and jog. Pastor Banke, I hope you are hearing that. You should be disciplined enough to go to the gym. No, really, I'm serious. I am very, very serious. I don't mean as a joke. I think so. You should be, because it helps you. All right? It's not everywhere you take a bus or drive your car or ride a bike. When you take, I gauge the distance. Walk. You're not trying to save money. You're trying to exercise your legs. Yes. At times you just walk. Just walk. You see, you say, I can't go to the gym. Okay, you don't have to go to the gym. You live in Upper Chime and you have a friend that lives near Polo Park. Once every other week or once a week, go and visit and trek to go and visit. It's a long distance. You can decide that, I live down Upper Chime and I want to come for Bible study on Saturday. But every Saturday, I walk down for the Bible study. Just mark one side of the road and just they walk, they go. Go back by bus. You have a card, it's not the issue. The idea that you are deliberately walking because you want to exercise, it's good. It's good. That's what Paul was explaining. I want to get that one clear. Because, take again, if I say this one, it's maybe will let me not cause too much problem. You know, people have quarreled. Is it right for a Christian to drink at all? If you talk about, he said, did Jesus drink wine? Yes, he did. His own was not alcoholic. You're a liar. You are lying. In fact, you should die and go to hell for saying and making that statement. You are lying. You are lying. He drank wine. The standard wine was alcoholic. Yes. No, please, I don't mean that as a joke, really. It's a matter of fact. I'm just saying that these are Christians should have begged. Stop worrying about things that you know what I mean, are irrelevant. Yes. I'll sit down and be arguing over things that don't mean nothing. Do you understand? No. And they leave the things that what the Bible calls the weightier matters of the law. Leave weightier matters of the law. Alright? So please, that's not let's not even go into that level at all. To me, it's not worth my discussing it. Somebody says that, I know when we start talking, like, you see, Bible says, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. I know that's what you will quote. I say, oh, you know it is written. Why are you angry that somebody is quoting it? You know, Christians are very fun. They go ahead and start fighting on things that are not important. One thing we, look, read the scriptures very well. The man giving to wine is the one that the Bible says has sorrows. You know, there's a difference between a man who drinks wine like a Frenchman after meals, or the man who is giving to wine. And listen, you don't have to be spiritual to know the difference. There's a world of difference. There is. But Paul now said that, even though Pastor Bank is doing that, it's not a sin. You know what the next thing he said? He said, even though it is lawful, it is not helpful. And therefore, I will not say because something is lawful, but it is not helpful. Just because it is lawful, I now decide that I want to indulge in it. He said, what is happening is that I'm bringing my power, I'm bringing myself under the power of that thing. Do you get my point? I mean, if I say this, it will surprise you. A lot of Christians are addicted to coffee. Coffee is bad. To be addicted to it, Paul said, I will not be put under the power of any. I don't drink coffee like, you know, some people drink coffee. I don't. I like the smell, you know, that flavor. I love it. Sometimes when I make a cup of Milo, I put a bit on it just to give it that flavor. All right? I don't drink it. Occasionally, as a person, to tell you the word of God, all food things are lawful and not expedient. I have coffee in my house, mostly because a friend of mine used to stay there, and he likes it, all right? And if you buy a tin of, that small tin of Nescafe, it can last 2 years in that house if nobody comes as a visitor who drinks coffee. Because, virtually, I'm the only person, okay, my wife maybe does that once in a while, to rare while, put a few drops, just so you know that aroma, it's really nice. But occasionally, I do this. I'm traveling. I didn't sleep well last night. I'm going to travel this morning. And when you're alone, even if you're not alone, you know, I travel somewhere like my wife who will just sleep and leave you alone. You may get drowsy on the road. One thing my dad used to do those days, and I've done it once, is once he starts feeling sleepy, he parks. Like, these days, it's kind of funny. They just park on the express road. Those days, life, Nigeria was much of a similar country. My dad would just park until he wake me up in 10 minutes, and he would lean his seat back and sleep. After 10 minutes, I mean, it happened several times we were traveling together. I'll be checking the time. Once it's 10 minutes, I wake him up. It's 10 minutes. He said, oh, okay, give me another 5 minutes. He leans his seat back again. At the end of 5 minutes, wake him up. He decides that he's refreshed. He continues driving. One day I was traveling like that. I was alone. My family, they were in Benin. I was going to pick them. And I was really sleepy. Ah, God, it was terrible. I shook my head, did everything. The sleep was bad. As I just enter our car, now I clear for one corner. I left my engine running, left the AC of the car on, leaned the seat back, and slept. Anybody passing go look, say, ah, what did you happen for there? It's my car. It's not your own. No, I slept. I slept for a few minutes. After that, I felt good. Then I continued my journey. Now, I'm trying to say something. Sometimes when I know something like that is about to happen, I hardly drink coffee. So coffee has a very strong effect on me, caffeine. I make a proper cup of coffee. I drink it 15 minutes before the journey starts. Guaranteed to keep me awake. Guaranteed. Those who are addicted to it doesn't keep them awake. All right? Now, talking about being under the power of any, let me just talk about that coffee thing briefly. As a matter of fact, I'm a doctor, all right? Don't forget that. I may be a preacher, all right? But I trained as a medical doctor. And what I'm saying, I know what I'm saying. That I can interpret it with the knowledge of my knowledge of medicine. One of my colleagues, those days in Luth, always had cola in his mouth. So I called him, young man, why are you chewing cola? He said, well, he doesn't know, but just that if he doesn't chew cola, he gets drowsy. Then he hits me. He's already hooked. Coffee and cola are the same job that they do. They both contain caffeine. I realized that he's hooked. Paul said he has been brought under the power of cola. Most Americans, a lot of Americans and Europeans, they live such a driven life that is, they are on the edge. They sleep little, they work hard, and the good Lord designed that you should sleep very well at night. A long, good night's sleep. They go to bed late, wake up early. So this is how a lot of them do it. They live what they call a chemical life. To wake up in the morning, he needs the coffee. It's not just a habit. He needs it to get up. A lot of them, to sleep at night, he uses Valium. Early in the morning, he's awake. So first thing is, it becomes a habit. He goes for the cup of coffee and he drinks it. Then, late at night, he's so under pressure that though he's tired, he can't sleep. He needs Valium. That's what Paul calls coming under the power of something. A lot of people in those countries, I'm not exaggerating about it, they're under the power of coffee. There was one guy, Trey. He's from Texas. We met at Ibadan when we went for a program. Not a Christian program, a medical program. And he was talking about Mountain Dew. You know Mountain Dew? Yeah, he said that the Mountain Dew they have in America has caffeine. This one too has caffeine? Okay, I didn't know that. That it has caffeine. And that, you know what he said? That's where I get my caffeine from. That once he went to Vancouver, all right, in Canada, to go and do something. And he didn't know that their own Mountain Dew was not caffeinated. And that the whole day he was just drowsy, he didn't know. That it was about the third day he realized that his Mountain Dew did not have caffeine. That he buys the thing in like cases. That's why he doesn't drink coffee, he drinks Mountain Dew. Brought under the power of something. Listen, as a believer, it is terrible to be a smoker. It's a useless life. I'm a doctor, I can tell you that categorically. The only reason why smoking has not been banned, smoking is of Satan. Let me say it clearly. The devil invented it. The only reason why it hasn't been banned is because it makes a lot of money. For the crooks who manufacture it and for the government that they pay taxes to, WHO has banned the advertisement of cigarettes on sporting events. You will never, if you watched the Formula One 20 years ago, most of them, Marlboro. Now, it's not allowed. Drogba cannot wear, if he wants to lose his license for life, let him go and wear a Marlboro shirt and enter the pitch. They will suspend him for the next 5 years. No, you can't do it. It is illegal worldwide. You cannot advertise cigarette on a sporting event. And every day they keep increasing it. The proportion of your advert space that must contain the warning. And it is not, Surgeon General has decided. Now they've changed it. It is now, cigarette smoking is known to cause birth defects in children. They give specific things. Do you get my point? So that's why I said, people think about it. Is it a sin? It's not a sin. I said, forget this gist of whether it's a sin. Listen to me. The eating of wild mushroom is not a sin. No? But you can die from it. Playing with poisonous snake is not a sin. No? I hope you know that. It's only dangerous. Swallowing pins and nails is not a sin. It is dangerous. In the same manner, drinking of plenty of alcohol doesn't have to be a sin. Now you go die. Not me. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't know why Christians gather and discuss. You're a sinner. You're still drinking. What's my problem? His alcohol and his cigarette is not the same. He at all. It is the thing that will just kill him. Now, I'm going to say something. In the same manner, brethren, it is wrong to be addicted to cola. It is wrong to be addicted to caffeine. Whether it is in Mountain Dew or it is in coffee. Addiction is addiction. It is bad. Paul calls it coming under the power of something. I read the story of two men. One I remember very well. Billionaires. But I remember this particular one, Paul Getty. Then he was the richest man in the world. He used to smoke heavily. And then one day, he was in a motel somewhere. And he woke up around 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. He wanted to smoke. And there was no cigar. He checked his house, no cigar. In his room, his box, everything. So he went to the reception and asked the guy there. The bar open? No. Do you have a cigar? No cigar. Ah. And it was raining. It was a raining day. It was raining heavily. So he began to dress up. He wanted to go out to go and buy a cigar. I think he had left. Then he hit him. That here I am, an adult, at 3 a.m. I'm dressing up inside the rain to go and buy a cigarette. The guy went back to his hotel, removed his clothes, and never smoked again. He said, for goodness sake, then which kind of life is this? Maybe the Spirit of God has spoke to him. Look at you. Whole adult, employing thousands of people. A whole adult. Multi-millionaire. And cigarette is driving. That's what Paul calls being under the power of something. A man told me once that he hides cigarettes all over the house that he used to. He's a believer now. He doesn't smoke anymore. That the way he used to do that, he used to hide it everywhere because he knows that one night he will wake up and he will need it. So he starts searching the house. Eventually, he will find one old dry stick. Hold it gingerly because it will crumble. And then he will not light it. And I laughed. I said, it doesn't have to be a sin. It's called bondage. Mary Kay Ash, I was reading her book again. She said her husband, lovely man, Mel Ash, the man was a very, very nice fellow. And he smoked continuously for about 40 years. And the last 10 years of his smoking life, he was married to her. And she used to talk to him and everything. The guy would say, I can't stop. He would try all kinds of things. He wouldn't be able to stop. Then one day, she read an article in a magazine that said that cigarette smokers are not only dangerous to themselves, they are dangerous to the people that live with them. There's one advert I've seen on international TV in recent times about children saying, when you see a child coughing, daddy, when you smoke, you make my asthma worse. That's what there is advert against smoking. Anyway, she found out the mag and then she left it on the table where she knew the man would read it. The man came next morning, saw the article, read it, and stopped smoking from that day. Unfortunately, like she said in her book, the damage had been done. She died some months later. They didn't know that he already had cancer of the lung. Paul said, whether it's lawful or not, it's not the issue. I will not be brought under the power of what? Any. Do you understand my point? Now, that's what he was explaining. I hope you've gotten what I'm saying now. So stop getting involved in discussion whether cigarette smoking is a sin or not. All right? Mm-hmm. And in the same manner, please, a Christian must not be addicted to anything, whether it is chocolate, or this, or it is coffee. Once it's something that I like, Bishop Oyedepo said, just let me just add this story to it. He said he used to drink Coke a lot, Coca-Cola, you know, Coke. And then one day he said he drank it so much that one day he turned to himself and said, you know, you are addicted to this Coke. He told himself that, why should this bottle have power over you? You are believing God for long life. You don't want to be sick. Yet you see that every day you are drowning yourself with sugar. Every day you are drowning yourself with color. Every day you are drowning yourself with all kinds of additives. So there and then, he dropped the bottle of Coke and never drank Coke again. He said, no, you won't control me. Do you get the point? Uh-huh. So please, let's just get those things in mind. So it's wrong for a Christian to be addicted to anything, no matter how lawful the thing may appear, including football. All right. Now, having said that, Paul now went on to another thing. Let me just read in the context. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. He said, now, what does that tell you? It's not the same thing I'm saying, no. It's another matter now. He said, now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. What was he saying? When it comes to this matter, there's no, something is lawful or not expedient. It is unlawful. Do you get my point? And Paul now caught it there. He said, now, this one is unlawful. That's the point he was making. All right? I like that word there. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, I don't want to, well, I really can't start talking about that. There's a book I told you I'm working on, titled Worship and Sex Control. It's a very interesting book. I just have the outline. I've not really written any line of it. Now, but let's just continue reading. I will explain some issues about it as I go on. He said, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Please notice, he's going to some mystical things here. He said, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Bodies now, not spirits. He was describing bodies. He said, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? He said, certainly not. And do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, he was applying this scripture in another light. He said, the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. For that reason, he said in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now, don't forget that this body is a member of what? Christ. You know, he said that earlier. He said, you are sinning, therefore, against your body and, of course, against a member of Christ. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, but you were bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Please, I think I probably will stop here, and then I'll continue from chapter 7 next time. Let me just explain something here, which is so important. Now, he was talking about sexual immorality here, and he had already finished talking about the matter of things that are lawful, like we're talking about cigar smoking or ogogoro drinking. So if you like to drink ogogoro, now you go get liver cirrhosis. Do you follow what I'm saying? But he was not talking about, no. I'm talking on another matter here. He said, now, I'm talking about issues of sexual immorality here. There is nothing like something is lawful. Now, I will say many things. Just a summary of what I've said I have in that book, but it's lifted from here. Have you ever heard the word celibacy before? Celibacy. If you're a Catholic or you've been to a Catholic church, all the priests are celibate. And the nuns also. Okay? Now, how do I say this? I don't have time to go into details. But the strongest protection, okay? If you don't want anybody to break ranks from a cult or a religion or a set of beliefs, it's celibacy. I know what I'm saying. Now, if you are discussing sexual matters, it's not, forget what Hollywood has made it look like. Let me tell you something. If you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained something there. It's there. It's inside that book. I was writing the book. I was sitting down. It was the time I was in Houston. I was writing. And they had this TV station there. They used to show... this is my guy. Billy Graham on a daily basis. So that evening, he was on again. Classic sermons, they call it the old sermons. And as I was writing, it was playing in the background. It was my back, the way the table that I used was, my back is towards the TV, but the TV was on. As I was writing, Imam was preaching. And he said, it's very hard for a promiscuous man to believe. In my mind, I said, my God, this is exactly what I'm writing here. So I wrote it in that book like that, that as I am writing this, the TV behind me is on, and Billy Graham is preaching. And he said, no, really, there's a reason. There's a reason behind it. Paul singled out sexual immorality here. I don't have time to discuss it in details, but let me just say a few things. It's actually a sign of, it's not just about moral decadence, but godlessness in a society. Do you understand my point? The farther the people are from God, now, I don't mean just the children. In fact, I don't mean the children. I mean the adults, their parents. All right? The farther they are from God, the worse the matters of sexual immorality is in that society. And listen, my friend, what I'm saying is not a joke. I read a book long ago. It was not by a repented witch. It wasn't by a repented witch. It was by a practicing witch. You know the way they do in all those countries? They want to demystify everything and make it look like it is okay. The woman was a witch who had no apologies concerning the fact that she was a witch. And she was describing her initiation. Let me not tell you very obscene things. But cut a long story short, initiation, the way it is that she has to sleep with the chief satanist in the center of a pentagram. She's not repented. You know, today I've read all kinds of things. I decrease more, but you know what I mean? I get information when I just read. I read it when I was in university. The woman, no, I don't mean a Christian who said, I have now repented. I have read the ones that Christians who used to be witches wrote, and I have read the ones who have not repented, but who are bragging about what they are currently wrote. That's the one I'm quoting for you. When I read it, I don't know whether I was there or later, I just understood that, no, these are spiritual issues. If it's written in the scriptures, the Bible says that they ate, they drank, and they rose up to play. You know, we're talking about the sin in the wilderness. All right? When Moses now came down and saw them, you notice something. They were sacrificing to a calf. And they ate, they drank, and rose up to play. They were not playing soccer. They rose up to play was describing sexual immorality. I've read commentaries on that. It wasn't the rose up to play soccer. Oh yeah, pass. Oh yeah, Ogoja. No. It was the earth they drank and they rose up to play. Do you follow what I'm saying? And those days, till now they have it. They are what they call temple prostitutes. Now, I don't have time to explain all these details, please. But the point is this. Just like you are sitting down here and I'm preaching the word of God to you, is affecting your spirit. There are different ways you touch the spirits of people. One of them is through sexual acts. I'm serious. I'm not joking. What the temple prostitutes do is to maintain the relationship those people have with Satan. I am serious. That is why, it sounds funny, but it's a matter of fact. After a long time, husband and wife start looking alike. They start thinking alike. It's not just about procreation and having children. I know what I'm saying. No, I'm not joking about it. And that's why Paul was warning. That, what is wrong with you? Don't you understand? You are dissipating spiritual energy. Look, one, we're talking about lawful things and things that are not expedient. Now we're talking about unlawful things, which most certainly are not expedient. One of the worst, now I believe this, I'm not guessing about it. I knew it long ago. One of the easiest ways by which men make sure they never succeed in life properly is to be sexually immoral, especially when they are married. A man is a businessman. He's earning some money. Maybe he's making profit, 2 million naira every month, and it feels good. What did I say on Saturday? I said, Satan steals power. Can you remember that? He steals power. He does. So you know what he does? He takes him into circles. Takes him into circles of guys who know how to chop life. So they goes and we're having a get together in my house. So, and just the guys. What am I? No, you don't need to bring madam. Just the guys. We have some men things to discuss. I said, there are 5 men, and he gets there, there are 6 girls. Did you do arithmetic in your head just now? There are 5 men, and there are 6 girls. You see, that's how they do it. Pastor Larry told me something when we were talking. There was a time that God blessed him materially. That is, men were begging that he would give him money to do things for them. He started mixing with the who is who in politics in Nigeria. So I don't know how he came. He said, how did he end? He said, the day he cut off from them was the day after a long meeting and stuff like that. He entered his room and there was a girl there. He said it turned out to be somebody he knew. Strangely enough. Hey, what are you doing here? Hey, what are you doing here? I mean, she didn't know he was his room, but she was there to, take good care of whoever stays in that room. He said, after that day, he sliced off that relationship in my mind. I said, this man will live long. He knows what he takes to live long. One day, chairman and I were talking. Talk about a young lady that I was helping. Now, there's a statement I want to bring up from the things he said. He said that, if you want to read more about this thing, when the book comes out, Worship and Sex Control, read it. I'm going to write everything that I'm telling you now. In big volumes, his research, please write. Now, no, listen, I know what I'm saying. He said that, so chairman and I were talking, that there's this young lady who was helping and all of that. So, I don't know why some, anyway, they're not believers, so let me leave them out. You just can't understand. Although, Sha, let me not bore you with too many stories. But he said that what happened was, after a while, if you know the person I'm talking about, he's a very nice, generous man, nice to everybody, child, adult, male, female, he's just like that. That's just him. Do you understand? So I guess the young lady misinterpreted his gestures. So you come, complain, say, you're having problems in school. The man will just dip hand for pocket, give you money, continue his business. So one day the girl began to send him suggestive text messages and stuff like that. So one day she came to his office and he sat down and said, look, my friend, what's wrong with your head? I'm your father's age mate, you don't understand that. Anyway, told the girl the truth about life, and of course, he said, hell knows no fury. Like a woman scorned. You've heard that one before. The girl, I think that was the day, maybe he got the text there. So after the girl left, the girl sent him a text, I hate you. Just deleted it. You are very stupid. He was not telling me. Now, this is why I'm telling you the story. He said, Banky, he said, this sexual immorality thing, it's not about HIV or diseases. So. He said, some of these girls, he said, now, so they go carry your good luck, carry and come out. Now, you see, it sounds funny. Eh? It sounds funny. But, you see, today, there's a way I hear things. Because I was already a preacher when I met him, when we were talking. I already had spiritual understanding. He said it without knowing what he just said, how deeply true it was. That all the favor God wanted to show you, that girl will come and take it. Unfortunately, she herself may not even know that's what she's doing. I said, there are those who do the purpose of God, they don't know that's what they are doing. In the same manner, there are those who are serving Satan, they don't even know that's what they are doing. A lot of big men, that's their job. They don't realize it. Let me explain something to you. If you understand spirituality, you know some things is for your safety. It's not about whether they catch you or not. Let me tell you this. If you're a minister, as an example, I'm teaching you guys, so let me explain something to you. One of the most attractive creatures on earth is a preaching man. I am not joking about it. You know why? It's called anointing. Glory is attractive. But people misunderstand it. There are preachers who think that because of that they are fine. Idiot, you are not fine. It's just that when you mount the pulpit, there is a Holy Ghost who has the epitome of beauty in him that's upon you. And it attracts everybody who's needy. Even in medicine, we learned that one those days in psychology. They call it transference. You help somebody so much, the person gets emotionally attached to you. That's just it. It's not, it's just a fact about life. Uh-huh. Let me finish the issue about the preacher. The preacher who wants to die. Now, when I say die, I mean D-I-E. Get buried into a grave, covered, and the body decay. Let him start sleeping with the women. What killed Hophni and Phinehas? Among their sins, they were sleeping with the women that served in the temple. God said, "This one, you are dead. I will kill you myself." Personal assault. I know what I'm saying. Now, the point I'm making is that that is one of the places where anointing vanishes from. I'm telling you. Anointing is gone. It's gone. They don't know. It's gone. And you see, oh God. Let me say, I was saying something earlier. Not only preachers. You see, a businessman is making $2 million every month. He joins that his group of friends I was telling you about. And then they teach him the stuff. People think that it is because he starts spending money on women. That's what will kill his business. It's not. I happen to know that when you look at life, a man who makes 20 million naira a month can comfortably blow just 50K a month on cheap babes. There are plenty for trial. You don't know. One of my friends said those days, he said in his part of Lagos, you could sleep with a girl for a meal. Just promise her you buy her dinner. That's it. So that's not the problem. That's not the problem. The thing that the man doesn't understand is that his business was making 2 million. He might even grow and start making 10. But he doesn't understand that Satan understood where he was going. He was going to become a billionaire over the next few years. And Satan said, no, not here. Not here. So you know what he does? He gives him one or two women. He now becomes a flinging guy. But what did happen, you know? And he has money. He doesn't know what he does not have. That he was going to get, that he has just sacrificed on the altars of adultery. That was why Paul was warning. What is wrong with you? You are joining yourself to harlots. I know what I'm saying. Spiritual authority. You know, I will tell you about celibacy. The hardest man to get, if he's in a member of a cult, a religion, whatever it is a man who's celibate. It's hard. It's hard. You know why? You have no loophole into his life. You know, I knew these things, then I read Reverend Chris Okotie, his book, The Last Outcast, and I discovered that he explained there that guy has to be one that does not have relationship with women, because that is the way he will fall. I said, this man even wrote it. I'll tell you what I'm saying is true. It's not. I'm not guessing. The most powerful person that can control a man is that one he's sleeping with. It's not because she uses sex appeal against him. It's spiritual. If she calls him for heart, the guy is in trouble. Because one that has joined himself to a harlot has become one body with her. She now has control, extends her control into his life. It's good. May I give you a foretaste of what you will read when you buy the book, Worship and Sex Control. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. My time is up. Let me stop there. We'll continue from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I hope you learned something today. All right. I said, look, the laws of God, God sometimes doesn't have time to explain to people. Just tell them, don't do this. It's for your own good. And once you believe him, and there's no, you know, all those who have plenty of wives, he kills them. He does. Listen, the only problem Abraham had to do with the other woman. You know that. The only problems that Solomon had, where did it come from? The only problem that David had, where did it come from? Samson, where did it come from? There is a reason, though. It's spiritual. It's not just that these women are wicked. They are not wicked. It's when a man's heart has removed from God, he goes somewhere else. The only way Satan could attack those people, as powerful as they were with God, even Israel, Moabites, yes, that was what they used against Israel. That was the sin they used against Israel. None of these, even the righteous men, David, Solomon, and co., that went into polygamy, there was not one that did not regret it. At the end of the day, Solomon said, it is better for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. I'll analyze it further maybe next time we're talking about the other things. Because once the two of them are united in truth, because there's a difference between having your fountain scattered abroad, if you read Proverbs chapter 5, do you understand? Or being satisfied with your own system, there's a world of difference. It's in Proverbs chapter 5. Let me leave it there so that we can pray. The Lord is good.